To the book of Acts, would you remain standing for the reading of the word of the Lord? Thank you, Juanita, for that special. Thank you, Madeline, for your gift flowing here in the house of God. The reading of the word, Acts chapter 3. Very, very powerful chapter. Peter and John said these words. To a man that was born not able to walk. And Peter said to him, God says to us, if you want God to put some order in your life and bring some restoration to your life, this word is for you. Silver and gold I don't have. The moment you accept you don't have that, you will be healed. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I want to give this to you. The moment you and I know what we can give, we're going to be set free. We are going to be set free. I want to give this to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. That is the restoration plan of God. Father, thank you for those who are watching, those who have come to the house of God. Blessings, blessings over them in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for what you're doing and saying to us during this time. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. You may take your seat. Keep your Bibles open at the book of Acts, chapter 3. This message will be very useful. You can apply this word by making sure you understand that God has already given you a revelation. How to solve your problems and how to get healed by God. One, God is rebuilding. Notice, I said that God is rebuilding. We are not rebuilding anything. There's nothing that we can do because all we have is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk and rise. That's where you and I are restored completely by God. If you get that, you'll understand everything that's going on in the world and in the body of Christ. God is rebuilding. The best metaphor I can give you is what happened in Florida just a couple of weeks ago where a building just crashed. The rubble, the rescue, the rebuilding. That alone will discourage you. But if you have Jesus, I want to help you stay encouraged. The second thing is you can't look back. That is water under the bridge. The hurt, the pain, the shame, the guilt, whatever happened yesterday is gone. What happened 20 years ago is gone. When I say, or when you hear me say, don't look back, is that means we're going to have to be focused on one very important task. God wants to restore us to all things. Now, as we look at that, we look at one of the amazing chapters of the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 3, where Peter rises and begins to speak. If you know anything about Peter's background, you know he had an up and down relationship, journey, kind of like us. I wish that we can all say we've had a perfect journey, we've had a perfect life, and we've had a perfect marriage, and we had a perfect understanding of relationship. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we know it's a process, it's a journey. We're not an event, and we're not a project. We don't go by what we see, and we don't go by what we feel. We go by what the Word of the Lord says. Can you say amen to that? So prophecy is real. And the way you know if it's real is you study the life of Jesus, who is the prophet of all prophets. He's the real deal. He's the real thing. He's the real person. He's real. There's nothing fake about Jesus. Now, in the end time, many will come and say, Jesus is there, Jesus is there, Jesus is there. He says, don't believe them because the Jesus of the Bible lives inside of you. Amen. God wants to make sure you understand your revelation, yours, individually, not corporately. The issue is that once you experience the revelation of God, you begin to doubt it. It's normal, it's common to doubt that God spoke to you. God is speaking to you. He is saying something to you. I know for me, what God has said for me to me in revelation, first thing that comes into my mind is, God, is that really you? Are you really saying that, God? I'm not sure. And so God is a good God and he'll wait. He won't force it on you, but he'll keep that revelation in front of you to realize that God is a God of truth and that he doesn't lie to us. So I'm hoping this morning in the journey of Acts chapter 3, three verses that stood out that is for us today. And once you and I embrace it and realize that God is rebuilding, okay, and we want to be part of what God is doing, second is that we're going to have to keep our eyes forward. The moment we look back, we are turned into a pillar of salt, and we stay in the wilderness, and nothing ever happens in our lives, and we begin to blame everybody where we are, and somehow we don't take responsibility for our actions. So the prophecy of restoration that God said to us, the reason why people are perishing or falling away is they have no vision. But really, the Greek and the Hebrew says what they don't have is that they don't have the revelation and how to apply the revelation, how to be restored in all things. Somebody say all things. Say it again. The moment you hear that, you would probably, or your flesh, or your emotions and your mind would say, that's impossible. With the culture that we live in, with the headaches that are out there, with the cultures that's going on in the realm of darkness and hate, and we can go on and on what's out there. I don't have to tell you that because you already know. You know one sad report I just heard the other day, and it grieved me a little, and it disappointed me a little. But again, because of what God has been saying to me, what has he been saying, son? I'm going to rebuild again. And I want to use new beginnings to rebuild what I want to rebuild. Two, don't look back. I want to give you that revelation. And I want you to begin to believe that revelation. And I heard this and I was saddened. It says that Pueblo, percentage-wise, is one of the highest percentage of crime in the country. Pueblo. I didn't say numbers, I said percentage. There are strongholds in Pueblo. And the only way those strongholds can be removed is that every time someone says, Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is my Lord, everything changes. The paradigm changes. So restoration in all things and every dimension of the human experience is in the heart of the Christian gospel. If you want to define the Bible, restoration. You want to define Jesus, restoration. You want to define promises, restoration. You want to define the Lord Jesus Christ, restoration. Everything is about restoration. That means something is broken. And we can live surviving or we can live living. We don't have to be fake. No fake news, no fake Christians, no fake church. This is who we are. This is the greatest hospital in the world. Parkview charges you thousands and thousands of dollars to sit for 5 hours in the ER to tell you there's nothing wrong with you. You get to come to the house of God because it says, I want to get better with the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So, as you have your Bible open in the book of Acts chapter 3, I believe that this revelation that God has given you, and you're, I know it because I can sense it, I have none. Well, I'm hoping that before you leave today, you can say something like this. Ooh, that was God. That really was God. God really did say that to me. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to hold on to it. It's called the promise of God. Amen. It's a promise from God. And so as we look at this, what we find that throughout the Word of God and the Scriptures and the ministry of truth, the truth is that God brought His Son that you and I can be restored in all things. I want to begin reading verse 19 in Acts chapter 3. As we read this, I want you to at least leave today with Acts chapter 3, verse 19, 20, and 21, as we see clearly the protocol, the outline, the principle, the principles of God. What I love about the principles of God is that they never change. They never change. They were there before the foundation of the world. And if you've been part of New Beginnings, we Wednesday nights in our Bible study, we are going over the principles. The recovery group is going over the principles. The women's group is going over the principles. Well, the men, as you know, they're always kind of left out or on the left. They're going through the book of Revelation. But I want you to see the order. If anything you get today, this is it right here. One, the moment you accept that God is restoring, and I know that you're saying, well, I've been through that 5 times. Well, one more time's not going to hurt. This one's going to be better. Don't look back. You'll get discouraged. Look forward. How can I finish this race well? How can I experience God in a way that it is from God? It's not religious. I didn't find it in a church service. I didn't find it out in the world, but I found it with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This revelation is from the Lord. Verse 19 of Acts chapter 3. Get the outline. This is God. It's all God. This is why you've heard over and over and over that if you're going to win your battles, you're going to win them on your knees and you're going to win every battle. And if we're honest with ourselves, that's really the key to your success. And you're halfway there when you're honest with ourselves. We ain't winning every battle. We ain't winning it. And we have to accept that, but at the same time, how do we win these battles that are before us? Verse 19 says, repent. That's not a bad word. That is from God. Any church that does not, or any preacher that does not preach about repentance is fake news, fake preacher. Run from them. God is about turning ourselves to God all the time. Your blessings were for yesterday. Can somebody say amen? God wants to give you a new blessing today. Once this day is gone, and if you're blessed to live another day, that blessing is gone. God is saying, are you ready for another blessing from God? I have a 99-year-old auntie, my grandmother's sister, woman of God, 99, sharp and still walks. The Lord said to me, when your family gathers together there in the valley, I want you to take your grandchildren, every one of them, and I want you to let your auntie pray over them. You know why? Because if you raise your children right, you get to spoil your grandchildren. But if you spoil your children, you're going to have to raise your grandchildren. And not on my watch, that my grandchildren, they will know we have no silver or gold, children. We have no inheritance, children. But what we have is the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk! The paradigm, the shift is amazing. And in verse 19, it says, repent, therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Nothing outside of God works. Nothing outside of God works. There's an article. It was in Saturday's paper. I brought it. I won't read it to you. But I want to show you what the title, I'm not sure if they can see it there on the video, but the title is Millions Skip Church During the Pandemic. And so the title is, Will They Return? This is why it's like a storm, and we saw all the rubbles, and we saw all what's going on. It's time to rebuild. The Lord is our strength, and His presence is what we need to fix anything. And I don't know. As you know, in any war or any collapse, there's always difficulties, death, separation, movement, moved away. Only God knows, but we can't look back. We've got to look forward. Can we save that generation? Can we? Can we? Should we? And I believe that the next 10 years is not going to be about us, because we've got it. We've got the revelation, but what about those children at the age of 13 to 18? Are we going to win them or are we going to lose them? And right now, we're losing. But we can change the course if we understand what the scripture says. It says, one more time, let's read it. Verse 20, and he may send Jesus Christ, who preached to you before. Here's the word. Here's the word of the Lord. This is what God wants to say to the body of Christ this morning, that whom heaven must receive until the times, please get it this morning, the restoration of some things. Come on, say it. Say it again. Say it like you want it all. You do that in the world. I want it all. Right? There's 100 toys, and grandkids are fighting over one. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of blessings to go around. There's a lot of work to go around. Never do I have to, as a minister of the gospel, beg anyone to work in the house of God, because we know the house of God is the priority in your life, whatever that may be. Whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets. Somebody say, prophets. Say it again, prophets. There will be prophets rising up that want to preach the Jesus of the Bible. There will be spokesmen of God, and they will declare it in the name of Jesus. And they'll declare it with joy and happiness and gladness, that God is in the business of restoring. That whatever the devil or your choices of the world has taken from you, God wants to restore it. That means you're going to have to really fight your battles on your knees. Somebody say amen to that. Real simple, the reading of the Word of God. And that reading of the Word of God is powerful, because Peter is urging us to return to God for the cleansing of our sins. This is the kind of friends you need in your life. Because if you give advice to a fool, they'll hate you forever. But if you give wise words to a person that wants to grow and learn, they'll love you forever. Here's the kind of friend you need. The one that's going to stab you in the front. That's the kind of friend you need. Not the one that stabs you in the back. The friend that you need is the one that's going to stab you in the front. Wants to speak things into your life because they love you and they care about you. It may stir some things in their brain and their heart, on and on and on. But bottom line is, if you're watching your grandchildren, your children fall off the cliff, and you can be there with the flagman and says, don't go that way. ¿Por qué? You'll fall. Go this way. You'll get there. We're afraid to confront, because confrontation, we say, is not from God. But we know that correction is from the Lord. Amen and amen. All things. Take a moment with me this morning. Because once you get that revelation, whatever that is from God to you, God's going to give it to you. Where is he going to give that to you? In the place of prayer and the place of reading the Word of God. Because once your eyes are open, you caught it, you got it, there's no turning back. Because once you've tasted the goodness of God, who wants to go to the left and who wants to go to the right and who wants to turn their back? Because I'm here to tell you that every time you get up in the morning, you say, thank you, God, for another day. You are blessed. There's two ways people can get up. Oh, I get another day, Lord. Ah, I got another day. Would you agree with me this morning as I put some final thoughts this morning? Would you agree with me this morning that whatever God starts, he's going to finish? Do you agree with me on that? Honestly, do you? Because every one of us, God started something inside of you. And somewhere in the journey, you took the wrong exit. It's okay to blame for about 1 minute. But to take responsibility for where you are is the key. And once you find out where you are, you can start. I taught that for 32 years, and I'll continue teaching it. You can't go forward if you don't know where you are. Where are you? And right now, I can tell you that my heart and my mind is overwhelmed with joy and peace and power and authority. But the moment I look back and I realize it's a dying world and that Jesus really is the only one that can save them. Good music tried it. Good preaching tried it. Good programs have tried it. But we're still falling away. What is that telling us? We have nothing. We can't give nothing. All we have is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk because he wants to restore all things. Say it with me, all things. One more time, all things. What is it that you're lacking? What is it that's missing? What is it that was taken away from you? What is it where you missed the mark? I'm here to tell you it's okay to identify. And once you identify, you can realize that only one that can fix that is Jesus with the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Wow. We can take it on. Can we take it on? We've tried, and all it did was stress us out. And stress is the number one killer of your body. So the ultimate, this is what I want you to get this morning. I'm almost done. I just need you to get this because I'm going to show you how to receive. I want to show you how to experience that revelation, that vision. People are perishing because they have no vision. And really that word vision is revelation. Revelation means is that God loves you enough to speak to you individually and give you the answer to your problem. All you got to do is accept it, walk in it, and watch the breakthrough happen, and you get out of the way because you have nothing to offer. Silver and gold, I have not. Knowledge of the world won't work, but all I have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise and walk. I hope you get this. I got this, and I'm working through it. The ultimate restoration is the return of the church as being the bride of Christ. Stop for a moment. Time out. Hold on. Listen to me for a moment. There's nothing wrong with you saying you're a Christian. There's nothing wrong with you saying I'm a follower of the Lord. I'm a member of New Beginnings Church, and Pastor Bobby is my pastor. I guess I'm the only one that gets excited about that. I go to a church that's debt-free, wonderful people. They're giving to missionaries all the time. They're helping other people all the time. I belong to a good church. Well, New Beginnings is no different than the 150 churches in Pueblo that the pandemic and the world took its toll on the churches. 10 of them just closed this year. They can't keep the doors open. But thank God for new beginnings and the people here at New Beginnings. It's okay to say you're a Christian. It's okay to say you are a follower, that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I love God, and I'm not being sarcastic, and I'm not trying to bring anything out, but get the revelation this morning that the moment you accept and get the revelation that truly and honestly you are the bride of Christ, and you are waiting for the groom to show up, and you are so ready and watchful and cleansed and washed and restored to all things, because you no longer look at yourself as just a person that is struggling, that somehow your enemy that you're going to fight now is pride. Because you're going to square that shoulder up and you're going to walk and say, in the name of Jesus, I am the bride of Christ. And I am getting myself ready for when the groom comes. I love weddings. I just got back out of state doing another one. I love weddings more than funerals, but you got to do funerals. But those weddings are gorgeous and beautiful. The men pay me extra just to say in their vows, you will make tortillas for me every week. And the wives pay me to take out of the vows, I will obey. What kind of friends do you need? The ones that are going to stab you in the front because they love you. They care about you. God is so ready to restore you in all things by you accepting today. I am the bride of Christ. I better get ready because my groom is coming. And if I'm not ready, who are we to blame? There's a lot of blame to go around. But we're going to take responsibility to the majestic, to the glory of God, how He intended for all of us to be. And that is to accomplish this restoration has to begin to release this power, not only to release this power, but this purity of the measure through the church. I am the wrong guy to argue about church, because Paul and the Gospels wrote to the church. And what is the church? The church is the ecclesia. They're the ones who are called out. They gather together under the umbrella of a gift from God so that we can be restored to all things. God's covenants are good. All right. I want to leave you with this. Because up there, you've been looking at it and you've been going, heavenly blueprints? What does that look like? Okay. Quick review. Take 1 minute. Just quick review. Just get this. God is rebuilding, and He's going to use you to rebuild, to restore all things. Got it? Yes. Amen. Two, you're not going to look back. You're not going to be part of that group that likes to, you know, chip-chip and chip-chap and chip-chip and chip-chap and chip-chip. And whatever happened to Sunshine? Whatever happened to Moncho? And, well, how come they're not here? Hey, I have no answers to that. All I know is the pandemic did some crazy stuff, and it's time to look forward and say, okay, there's a lot of souls that need Jesus. Would you agree with me? If we win the 150 churches in Pueblo, if we win 10%, somebody say 10%, of souls that are dying without Jesus and get them saved, every church, 150 of them, will have 4 services a week. Just 10%. If we just win them to Jesus. Every church would have 4 services. And the revival that's coming is the remnant that is part of rebuilding will begin to get a conviction how powerful the Lord's Day is, either through online or coming to the house of God. We're honoring God because He wants to restore all things to us. And so this revelation that God wants to restore all things, you begin to get a revelation what that is. If the enemy stole one sheep from you, the law says he has to return 4. That's called complete restoration. If you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says in the New Testament, your restoration is 100-fold. We've only touched 20% of the promised land. The Israelites only got 1/4 of the promised land. That's all they touched. And the church today has only touched 10%, 15% of the promised land. I love that. So I believe this is where we need to start. So if you're a note taker, or you can go back and listen to this, and hopefully they can see it up there. And I believe that once we embrace this, that without a vision, people perish. Or without a revelation, we stay in the wilderness. And I think we're tired of the wilderness. We want the presence of God in our soul. And we want to help other people know Jesus Christ. And then we want to begin to disciple them and help them for the next 2 years. And when we help them for the next 2 years, God begins to use them all over the world. I am so grateful that New Beginnings, percentage-wise, this is a humble statement. We've raised more ministers, more worship leaders, more leaders, percentage-wise, here at New Beginnings than any other church in Pueblo. And that gives credit to God and your servanthood in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? Here we go. First thing I believe we got to do is stand your watch. Say it out loud up there. Your revelation is built on a foundation of biblical knowledge and cannot be received without intimacy, without relationship with God. We must learn to watch and pray. Why? Because every morning you're going to get up and say, I am the bride of Christ, and your enemy is going to be pride. Don't get prideful for who you are in Christ Jesus. Number 2, you're going to have to receive correction. You're going to have to get friends that are going to stab you in the front. Lovingly, caringly, because they care about you, not those who stab you in the back. Because this revelation keeps getting bigger and bigger and better and wiser and powerful until you begin to walk in that revelation, and then you'll know exactly how to keep that revelation. Number 3, you're going to have to write it down. What has God said to you? Because the enemy will come and rob and steal that promise, that revelation from God. He'll come and rob it by doubt and unbelief. And I have to be reminded by the Spirit of God in the place of prayer. I've already spoken to you, son. Why are you letting doubt creep in? And I have to snap out of it and have my faith in God. And I got to write down everything that God has been saying to me. You must elevate this revelation. You must build around it. You must stand on it. This refining process is a teachable moment. It's where humbleness comes in. It's where you are teachable. Build a team. Say it out loud. How do I build a team? I'm glad you asked. Get around people that have the strength where you have weakness. Get people around you that are going to make you better, not pull you down. I remember like it was yesterday. I wanted to be a good golfer. That was 15 years ago, and still I'm not a good golfer. But I'm out there hitting it all the time. And a friend of mine said, he just passed away. He says, son, you want to be good in this game? I says, yeah. Quit playing with those people that don't know how to play. See those guys over there? Play with them. They're good. And they don't mind you going with them. And they don't mind you telling you what you're doing wrong. You got your hands in the wrong place. You're back. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And you do that. And by the time I know it, I was right there among them. Build your team. And last, build it with patience. See, on one side, the enemy is saying, why are you bothering for Wednesday nights? Nobody's coming. But God said to me, if we're going to reach the next generation, we got to keep these doors open. Even if one teenager shows up, it was worth it. One person shows up, it was worth it. Yeah, we live stream. We're getting 60, 80, 90 people on live stream, but that's out there. But to begin to see our young kids, I want to be able to begin to see 20 young kids on Wednesday night from every different place. But right now, if I get one, I'm like, woo! Restoring all things, woo! There's a few times I've gone there and there ain't nobody there. I said, boy, I'm going to preach to these chairs. And I'm going to, one of these days, they're going to be filled. And I'm just preparing to preach to these young kids, even though there's nothing but empty chairs. It's not my first rodeo. I've had to rebuild many times. But this time, what's different is I've got a little experience how to rebuild and make this thing work for the glory of God. Build with patience. Rome was not built in a day. Go through the scriptures. Most of these promises have taken years and years to fulfill. But somewhere in my heart, my brain, in my heart, in my spirit, there's 10 years of an open door, an open window of reaching those kids in those generations and the moms and dads where they start bringing them to the house of God, because the greatest education, the greatest teaching that you can give a child is that we don't have no gold and we have no silver, and all we have is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. Amen. To that, for the glory of God. My encouragement, keep listening on video, come here. Let's find out what restoration really means in the Bible. give you a little homework as those who are going to come and help me with closure of the service today will come. Let me give you a little bit of homework, just a tiny bit. And I would like for you to do it all the month of July and August. If you can do it, I think the quicker you will embrace your revelation that God wants to give you, because He does want to restore all things. Whatever the enemy has taken, whatever bad choice, bad decision, whatever has happened in the past is past. God wants to restore. But His restoration is going to be better than the original restoration, because I believe Jesus said these words, greater works you're going to do. You already see the battle. You already see the darkness. You see it already. It's there. Would you take Genesis chapter 1, probably up to 15, and read it every day? That's 2,000 years from Genesis 1 to about chapter 11, but go up a couple chapters. Because what God wanted to do or did in Genesis 1, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, He's going to do in the last days. Because what He started in the beginning, He's going to finish. Either with us or with rocks. He's got rocks ready to praise God. But He prefers those who've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Those who say, I am the bride of Christ. Silver and gold, we have not. But what I do have, I want to give it to you. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who can restore all things. And He wants to restore those things in your life. Begin to pray. One of the saddest things that our children's children more likely will not know God. Let's change that. But Pastor, they don't want to come. Drag them. Tell them after church you're going to go to McDonald's. So, I don't know, just tell them something. Maybe that'll be a motivation. Everyone, please stand. Would you just lift your hands for a moment? This is a beautiful moment. This is a beautiful time. This is a gracious, amazing opportunity. What I love about all of this is that God's not mad at us. He just wants the best for us. And some of His people have gotten stuck. And He wants to remove all those obstacles and see freedom, see liberty, see the power of God, the presence of God. Because I'm the bride of Christ. See, when you get that revelation, you will see everything different. Am I really being watchful and ready? Am I really ready? Am I being watchful? And He'll begin to help you with that. Just lift your hands for a moment. Just close your eyes. Just feel the presence of God. Just begin to feel the presence of the Lord in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.